Thank you, Jelly. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this week we go to week two of our series on relationships and how we handle these complex relationships that we have in life. And the other one within it, looking at the TV series, This Is Us. This is one of my favorite shows, and I think a big part of what makes it my favorite show is because it is looking at the reality of the relationships that we have in our life, how it is that we handle them, and all of the things that life throws at us. And last week I introduced you to the main father in it, Jack Pearson, who's played by Milo Ventimiglia. Okay. The exact way I pronounced it last week, right? He plays this incredible father that would give absolutely everything to his family and those that he cares about, anything that's needed, stooping down in humility to do whatever he can to love them. And this week, I want to look at his wife, Rebecca Pearson, who is played by Mandy Moore. And the Mandy Moore character, we get to see her as a young adult falling in love with Jack and the complexity of having parents that don't agree with this choice of a significant other, feeling like his economic status does not allow him to provide for her in the way that they expect for her to be provided for. We see them through the blessing of marriage and their early years of marriage and having their triplets, and then we even see her all the way into grandparenthood, helping to raise her grandkids. Now, I won't give you too much because I would love for you to go watch this series, and so I will try not to give anything away. But one of the things that impresses me about Rebecca is that she has this complex family that seems to face like every challenge you could probably face as a human being. They are faced with addiction issues. They're faced with miscarriage issues. They're faced with relationship issues, divorce, and breakups. She has a son who is an adopted son, a white family who adopted an African-American boy and deals with him as his challenge of trying to feel like he fits in and is part of the family when he doesn't look or really think like them and ends up with significant panic attacks and anxiety issues walking with him. A daughter who's significantly overweight and helping her through periods of having trouble with her self-image and self-esteem. Going through significant losses within the families, loss of a house, moving. Here they face all of these different things. And one of the things that you see is Rebecca, despite having her kids living on different coasts, at the drop of a hat, will always jump on an airplane to fly and be there with her kids, to walk through the toughest of days that they face. And she does it with this extreme love for them and with patience and with compassion. Just like our verse this morning talks about us being called to have. And so this morning we look at how it is that we make it through the messy times in our relationships. Because let's face it, though This Is Us is a TV show, it's the reality of life. We face those messy days. We face those messy times. We face those crises and challenges. They're going to hit us no matter how hard we try to avoid them. So how do we make it through with the people that we love and care about most? And Paul tells us just how to do that. Paul, who's writing to the church in Colossians, but if we go into any of his letters, we'll find very similar words. Why? Because Paul spends an incredible amount of time talking to his churches and his followers about how it is that we are the body of Christ, how it is that we are bound together, how it is that what Christ did in the presence of the Holy Spirit puts us in community with one another, and how we're called to be that community, living and supporting and loving one another. And so here we get into this place in Colossians. As we think about these messy times, and what does he talk about? Just like Miss Becky said, of what we need to clothe ourselves in. and not jackets and sweaters and dresses and fancy shoes, or me, I didn't share it with the kids, but I got Cookie Monster socks on today. Why? Because I can, and I love them. But what do we clothe ourselves in? And what does Paul tell us? Especially in those difficult times, whether the difficulty is in the relationship or if the difficulty is what the person we love and care about is facing, he calls us as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Let's pause for a second. Holy and dearly loved. How are we holy? Holy being a godly, because of God's presence in us, right? The first thing to stop and think about as we're facing a mess or somebody else's mess that we're needing to walk through them with is to be reminded that God has chosen us, that God has loved us, and that God is present within us. But what does God say through Paul about the chosen, holy, and loved? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It'd be like a 40-minute sermon if I went through all of these, and I don't want to do that to you, especially since I know Marshall baked the goodies today, and we want to get to those. But I want to pull out two of these, because I think when we hit the messy times, there's two in particular that need to get to the top of this list. And the first one is patience. I don't know about you, but I'm a fixer. If there's a problem, I just immediately want to fix it, okay? If somebody tells me something's wrong, I immediately want to give the solution, okay? I want to fix the problem, okay? This is just what's ingrained in me. But sometimes fixing is not what's needed most. Sometimes what's needed most is patience. If we want to see an example of that, let's go to the book of Job. Talk about somebody who hit the mess, right? Job that loses everything, loses his family, loses his workers, loses his land and his animals, is down to nothing. And it says in chapter 2 of Job's book, it says that his friends, his three best friends who live away, hear the news of what's happened to Job. And what does it say? But when his friends heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. First of all, let's look at the beauty of that. His friends, by agreement, came together and said, we together are going to support our friend and care for him in this time. But how did they do that? When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. Have you ever had a friend so deep in a mess that it was hard to recognize them? That they didn't even look like themselves because of how much pain, worry, stress, anger that they had? Here's Job's friends. They don't even recognize their friend because grief and loss has hit so deeply. But what does it say they do? They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Imagine the patience to sit 7 days with a friend without speaking a word. 7 days to just sit with them in that pain and in that grief. They didn't try to fix him. They didn't try to help him get up and move on. They sat and just patiently were there with him. I remember a tough night in college. I had a horrible day. And all I wanted to do was be by myself. And I remember being inside my dorm room was not something I could be. Those cinder block walls was not going to do it. And so I took my desk chair and I dragged it out to a dark hallway behind our building. And I just sat there going over everything in the day, sitting there in this agony that I was feeling because I was like 19. So whatever it was like the end of the world, right? Because that's what 19-year-olds do, right? There's some of them in here. They're like, no, it really is true. But here I was, just sitting there. And one of my friends saw me. And it would have been so easy for her solution to be like, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. Hey, let's go do this. Hey, to try to just pull me out of that. But she saw where I was and understood it. And what did she do? She went and got her desk chair out of her dorm, and she dragged it next to mine and just sat there with me until I was ready to talk. I got to be in that silent place. I got to do what my head and my heart needed to do, but at the same time, I didn't have to be alone in it. When somebody we love and care about is going through a mess, to exercise patience, to just be present, to just wait for them to be ready, to just wait for the Lord to tell us what we're supposed to do, to just spend that time, can be one of the greatest gifts that we give them. And in that patient time, can give space for God to do God's work. But especially if we sit with them, it makes them know they're not alone. And that's a big thing in this world. But that patience, I challenge us to couple with compassion. Because what does compassion do? Compassion says, I might not have experienced what you are experiencing. I may not have been down the road that you're going down. But I understand that this is a difficult time for you. I understand that you're in pain. I understand that you're feeling broken. I understand that this is a dark time for you. And I am here with you. It comes with that patience, but in that patience, giving time to really look into that person, to seek what they're going through, to understand them. And how do we do that? One is to realize we're all human, right? We're all human, which means we're all prone to be flawed. And what is it with that flaw? But all of us have our ways that we feel brokenness. And what does compassion do? But it says, my brokenness meets your brokenness, and together we can seek wholeness. A secondary gift that we can give somebody, a seeking of wholeness, a seeking to meet them where they are. Look at Job's friends, ripping their robes and sprinkling dust on their heads, signs of mourning, that they went into the same place as Job and says, we put on the same garb as you so that we can be with you through this. In our relationships, we're going to find those messy places, whether we're knee-deep, elbow-deep, or chin-deep. And how we get through those messy times is when we do it together. This is why we're the body of Christ, so that we can help one another, love one another, and care for one another. What does it tell us in Colossians? To bear with one another. Bear with one another, forgiving one another if any of us has grievances. Why? Because the Lord has forgiven us. Where do we get the patience? Where do we get the compassion? Where do we get the eventual words when we need them? Where do we get the advice when it's time for it? Where do we find the healing when it's the relationship that's a mess? Where do we find all of that but we find it in Christ in us. Because that's who we clothe ourselves in. That's who we seek to be the source, the example, who it is that we're called to emulate. Because look at the end of this text. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God says, I've put it all inside of you. We looked a couple weeks ago at UMW Sunday at the fruits of the Spirit, and our speaker was so great at saying the fruits of the Spirit are all in us already. God has put them in, and all we have to do is activate them. When we hit those messy times, when we see the people we love in those messy times, that's the time to activate these fruits, to seek God's help in having the patience and the compassion and the kindness, and most of all, every bit of it grounded in the love that we have from Christ and the love that we have for one another. When we do that, we can get through the toughest days together. And we will find, just like this morning, the sun shining upon us and giving us the next chapter. This is the gift of the Lord and the gift that is in each and every one of us. My friends, will you pray with us? Pray with me, and let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Most gracious God, you not only created us, but you have loved us unconditionally. And you did not put us on this earth to be islands alone, but you put us into this interconnected web of family and friends and neighbors and church body, that you have connected us to be able to care for one another, to be able to lift one another, to be able to get through those messy days together. And so we ask you by your Holy Spirit to help us to have what we need in those messy times, to be able to have all of the patience that it takes to just sit silently, to have the compassionate heart that it takes to understand what's going on with the other person. And most of all, that you would put within us an overflowing love that drives all that we do, so that that mess gets covered in love and that we together are able to make our way out of it. We know all of this is possible through you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived and died for us as an example, and through your Holy Spirit that lives in us. For all honor and glory we give to you as we praise your most holy name. Amen.